It's here and now. Across the country this spring, there are people gathered in busy intersections and near downtown office buildings looking up with joy. They're watching birds of prey nest and their fledglings fly for the first time. A tremendous experience. But we have a cautionary tale. Back in 2010, we brought you the story of a glorious pair of red-tailed hawks nesting high on a glass-windowed office building outside Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Buzz and Ruby, yeah.
That's Ernie Serro. He named the birds and started a blog to follow their exploits, of which there were many, like the time one of their offspring, Larry, flew, and fell to the busy street where he sat like a fire plug.
Hey. Look, what's that?
Yep, that's...
Is that the baby?
Yep, that's the youngest.
Let him go! Let him go!
Yeah, he may be stunned.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. Oh, he's right in the street.
He survived.
Life is unfolding in front of you. I don't have to worry about this the way I have to worry about the oil leak in the Gulf. These are issues that are hard for me to face, and I don't see the way out of it. And then I look at something right here, right in front of us, unfolding right in front. It's life, it's nature in a very unnatural place.
Too unnatural. This past weekend, Ernie and others who could have loved Buzz and Ruby learned that Ruby's huge, lifeless body was discovered at the foot of the nest last week. It's thought this majestic bird of prey died after eating an animal contaminated by rat poison. Ruby's many fans are heartbroken, but they're also learning that across the country, this is not uncommon. We decided to call in Justine Lee. She's a veterinarian and toxicology expert in St. Paul, Minnesota. She joins us from Minnesota Public Radio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show.
And, you know, a lot of people have their own personal anecdotes. I have one, a little Cocker Spaniel who got into a garage where some rat poison was stored and he died. You know, it's heartbreaking. But how widespread is this poisoning of, let's start with dogs and cats, by rat poison?
It's actually a huge problem. Unfortunately, most animal poison controls receive typically over 100,000 phone calls a year, with mouse and rat poisons being one of the top five poisons that dogs and sometimes cats get into.
Wow.
So it is a potentially life-threatening poisoning.
Well, and remind us why. What is rat poison?
Well, there's actually four different types of mouse and rat poison that are readily available on the market. The most common type is something called an anticoagulant rodenticide, and that's the type that actually causes internal bleeding. Another type causes kidney failure, some other types cause seizures or tremors, and one type causes severe vomiting and even bloat. And the EPA in 2011 actually made this mandate where they're taking away the rodenticide or the mouse and rat poison that causes internal bleeding. Now, the type that Ruby got into, the red-tailed hawk, we suspect is an anticoagulant rodenticide. And unfortunately, it's what we call relay toxicity. When people put down mouse and rat poison, they mean to kill mice and rats, but unfortunately, dogs, cats, and wildlife end up getting into it, or they eat the dead mice and end up being poisoned secondarily.
Well, let's pick that up, because we've talked about pets. You have some more control over that, but you have no control over that food chain.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm a huge advocate of snap traps instead. There's no secondary relay poisoning that can affect wildlife.
Well, California has been a leader on this. California found that types of rat poison were responsible for the deaths of animals in at least 25 different wildlife species in California. Last month, that state passed a ban on the retail sale of many of these rat poisons. That ban, by the way, on a retail sale is being contested by a poison manufacturer. But that still means that large pest control companies are still putting it out.
That's correct. In fact, there's actually a lawsuit that's ongoing between some of the largest makers of mouse and rat poison against the EPA to change this mandate. So it is really frustrating. Right now, my general advice is if you care about wildlife, animals, pets, honestly, don't put mouse and rat poison out at all, just because it poses too much of a risk to both our two-legged and our four-legged and the wildlife out there.
Well, we both mentioned a company. It's Reckitt Benckiser, which makes the Decon line of retail rat poison. That's the company contesting both the EPA recommendations that rat poisons be banned in retail stores and California's ban. The company says that the agencies are end-running their own procedures, moving too quickly with these bans, and so there are legal actions there. But as you well know, Dr. Lee, other people might be thinking, well, what about the problems caused by rats? I mean, are the problems caused by rats enough to offset the concerns over wildlife?
That's a great concern. So, yes, mice and rats definitely harbor disease. So there are certain infections they can get or spread. And we remember that in the national park system where tularemia or plague were carried more recently. There are definitely public health risks when mice and rats live in the same environment as people. The biggest thing is really implementing appropriate environmental standards. So you can use mouse and rat poisons. You just have to make sure that you're using them judiciously. So putting them in an environment where a dog or a cat can't get into it. Ideally, I don't want them outside at all. So if you're going to use them, using them in the basement or in a locked garage or in a cupboard where mice and rats are getting into it, again, so there's no exposure to other animals.
Well, but then, you know, you may have and as we did recently on our street, you may have an animal inadvertently poisoned. It was a squirrel, but made its way to my backyard where I watched a cat eat it. It wasn't my cat, and later learned that that cat had become violently ill.
Yes, unfortunately, that's, again, what we call relay toxicity. And thankfully, dogs and cats are rarely poisoned by relay toxicity. And that's because 100% of their diet isn't off of wildlife. That's different for raptors or birds of prey. And they are severely affected by these anticoagulant rodenticides or different types of mouse and rat poison because they rely on 100% of their diet being comprised of mice or voles or things that can be poisoned. So again, while we want to ideally clean up the environment, make sure that we have food locked up, make sure we are preventing mice and rats from coming in and being exposed to people. Ideally, I hate to see the use of mouse and rat poisons just because of that secondary exposure to birds and wildlife.
Yeah, even though you recommend that the poison be in, let's say, a closed basement or a cupboard, if someone feels they have an infestation, they have to do it. That poisoned animal, whether it's a mouse or a rat, might get outside.
Absolutely. And that's the benefit of the snap trap. Even though people don't like using snap traps, they're actually much more humane. They instantly kill a mouse. They instantly kill a rat. And I'm actually of the philosophy that using these mouse and rat poisons is actually, in my opinion, inhumane to mice and rats, too. They slowly develop internal bleeding. They slowly develop acute kidney failure. They seizure. And so it's not a humane way for even wildlife to pass away.
The environmental group Earth Justice says the same thing. They are against the poisons, even on rats. But certainly nobody wanted to see a glorious animal like a hawk die from poisoning.
It's such a shame. And honestly, it's so prevalent. And I'm glad that this actually increased the awareness because we see it all the time. We actually even see it in larger cats, bobcats, anything that is preying on wildlife. So again, the best thing that people can do is avoid the use of mouse and rat poison just because it can contaminate both the environment and also expose our pets to it.
Justine Lee, a veterinarian and toxicology expert in St. Paul, Minnesota. She's also creator of the podcast Vet Girl. We'll have that at hearandnow.org. Justine, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on the show, Robin.
And Jeremy, we started with the story of Ruby, the red-tailed hawk.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen her. And people who loved that bird are going to try to organize area businesses to stop putting out poisons. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.